First reading today, we hear God giving a vision to Abram and telling him that his own offspring will be able to inherit the land. And yet at the same time, Abram at this point is getting pretty elderly and he has no offspring. And so when God promises that this is how this is going to work, we're told that Abram believed. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. That act of faith, to be able to say, I will believe, I will trust in God. Now we know that what happened later, Abram didn't really quite understand how this was going to work. When it didn't happen in his time, and he was 75 years old, which meant his wife was 65 years old at that point, he decided to take matters into his own hands because he still believed what the Lord said. He just couldn't see how this was going to happen. It's a great lesson for all of us because, once again, it's not a question of whether or not we believe. God has revealed himself. He has revealed the truth, and we believe. And yet, when it comes right down to it, most of us don't trust. Yeah, I believe whatever God wants to do, but I don't know. I don't think he's going to do it. Like, really? St. John of the Cross tells us that we are going to receive in prayer only to the degree of our hope. If we don't believe that God is going to do something, why would he? We will give him lip service because we know he's God, he is almighty, he can do anything that he wants. We will all very quickly acknowledge that. And we have no problem acknowledging it because we know it's true. But when it comes to my life, yeah, that's a different matter. He's not going to do anything. Why? Because we're too insignificant? Because he doesn't care? No. Because we don't believe. So that act of faith that Abram made was credited to him as righteousness. And that same then can be said for you and me. Obviously, for Abram, it's a pretty extraordinary act of faith. Maybe for us, it's a little easier because you and I have the background. That is, we have the scriptures. We have 2,000 years of saints, 3,500 years since Abraham lived. So we've got all these people that have been able to pass things along and teach us. But on the practical level, we're in the same boat as Abram. In fact, some ways, maybe he was in better position than we are. Because after all, the Lord had appeared to him a couple of times. I don't know, but I'm assuming he probably hasn't appeared to anybody here. That's the case. We have the truth because it has been passed on to us. We have the faith because we wouldn't be here if we didn't believe. But on that subjective level, Abram actually heard directly from the Lord. Most of us probably have not. Which is a great gift, by the way. Do not pray that God will speak to you or do something extraordinary, because then you're opening yourself up for the devil to have an absolute field day with you. If God wants to do something extraordinary, that's up to him. But once again, as I was mentioning to you the other day, look at the lives of the people whom God does extraordinary things with. Their suffering is extraordinary. So while it might seem pretty cool if God would do this or that, there's another side to this, and most people don't want it. So don't ask for it. Don't look for it. Because if you start looking for extraordinary things, there is somebody who's more than happy to do extraordinary things for you, and it's not God. So just trust. The Lord knows what's the best for you. He wants only the best for you. And that's what he's going to do for you. So if we have this same faith of Abraham, and we call Abraham our father in faith, because he's the one who believed, he's the one who was willing to enter into that covenant with God and to be able to set the foundation that we have built upon. We recognize that Judaism, of course, came from Abraham's faith, and our Lord fulfilled Judaism. He came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And so he has. And so the Catholic Church is the fulfillment of Judaism and then builds upon it. So it's not to eradicate the truth that was given to the Jewish people. It's to perfect it. It's to bring it to the next level. So we have that faith. It is the faith of Abraham to believe in the one true God and everything that he has revealed. There is no more divine revelation, that is public revelation. God can reveal himself to individuals in private revelation if he wishes, but there is no more public revelation. It is all there already. So we don't need anything else. In fact, if we look at St. Paul and his letter to the Hebrews, he starts out by telling us that in the past, God has spoken to us through the prophets in various ways, but now he has spoken to us through his Son. There is nothing left to reveal, nothing, because the fullness of God's revelation is Jesus Christ. So it's just a matter of going deeper and deeper and deeper into the person of Jesus. But there isn't going to be any new revelation. So we don't need all these extraordinary things. We've got it all. Maybe if we think that it would be really cool if God would do this or that, if he would just talk to me, if he would just appear to me, maybe what we need to do instead is just pick up the Bible and read it. Because we have the revelation of God right there. We don't need anything else. But we need to go deeper into the Lord. And we need to have the faith of Abraham, not just the objective faith, which we have. Now it needs to become subjective. We need to make it our own, and we need to live it. That's where the difference comes between most of us and the saints. They didn't just believe the truths that the church teaches. They believed in God and everything that he reveals, and they applied it and they lived it. That's what God is going to be looking for from each one of us. So you've got the truth. Now we need to put it into practice. We need to let it get from our heads to our hearts so that we will be like Abraham. We will trust. We will believe. We will have that confidence in the Lord. That's what he's desiring. Remember when our Lord appeared to Saint Faustina, he said the thing that hurts him, if you will, that's not the word he used, offends him the most, he said, people don't trust him. Why? If we have the fullness of the truth, why wouldn't we trust him? Because we're not putting it into practice. Because we're not making it our own. The truth can't change, so you don't have to worry that you're going to be wrong on that level as long as you're in line with the teaching of the church. So with that kind of confidence, we can go inside and say, this is what the Lord has promised. This is therefore what I am going to do. This is how I'm going to live. That sounds real easy. It's not. But that's what God is going to ask of each and every one of us, to be able to live that faith so that we will be like Abraham, not just being credited as righteousness because we believed, but Abraham had to put all of that belief into action. And so do you and I. So that's the thing we want to pray about now. If I believe, now I need to act. How do I do this? How do I put God truly at the center of my life? Not just knowing the truth, not just giving him lip service, but really letting this affect my whole life so that it is the way that I live. That's where we're going to be truly righteous. And that's where we're going to be able to give the greatest glory to God. At that point, you won't worry about if anything extraordinary is going to happen, but that's the point at which God can actually do extraordinary things through you. Because at that point, you're not looking for it. You're living it, and therefore, he can work through you. So just trust him. Have confidence in him. Know that he cannot lie, he cannot deceive. Know also that he loves you and wants only the very best for you. So believe everything that he has revealed, but open your heart to let it get from the head to the heart and put it into practice.